typical murderers. Some plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
I'm eternal, child. I am the eater of... No
tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every year.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I'm your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight are co-anchors Kent Mullins.
What's up, guys?
And Jesse Gilbert.
Hey, guys.
Now, on this episode, we will be discussing the highly criticized third installment of Jeepers Creepers. Jeepers Creepers 3 first screened last fall in limited screenings, which I actually attended at the theater. And recently, it's been added to Netflix, and I've noticed it to be trending on there over the last week or so, which isn't really a surprise. Now, we are all aware of the criminal history of Victor Salvo and all of the protests from the fans and the petitions, et cetera, to try and prevent him from making this film that not surprisingly failed, because no matter how much you complain, he can still make a movie, and of course, such is life. So we're not here tonight to discuss our opinions on whether he should have been allowed to make this third installment or to talk about any of his criminal history or any of that shit. We're going to ignore all that business and just simply discuss our thoughts on the film itself. So moving forward, I will admit that I'm a big fan of the first one. I fucking love that film. Great film, very entertaining. I really like the second one too, but I think the first is definitely my favorite. So now on to number three. Okay, I went and seen this with a friend, and I just remember walking out, and both of us were like, what the fuck was that garbage? I mean, come on. I mean, this film is certainly a low point to the franchise and probably will not recover from this. Wow, just absolutely disappointing overall. And we will eventually get to some of those issues, but to kick things off, my initial thought outside of the opening police sequence, that, of course, just seemed out of place to me, and they probably should have hired a better law enforcement consultant, but whatever. I was like, what in the hell is with this Creighton Duke wannabe? You can't be more of an obvious ripoff type of a character. And, of course, it was all downhill for me from there. Now, I will admit there were a couple highlights here and there, but that was probably my first thought, was what the hell is with Creighton Duke Jr. here? And now, Kent, I know you have a lot to say about this film, so I'm going to let you rant a bit, but what part started the downhill slide for you with this film? Just where did you begin to think, what the fuck?
You know, I feel like I really gave the film a hard chance, and I held in with it as long as I could. And I feel like the downhill slide started right after the opening credits. yeah, wow. I mean, right from the get-go, it feels... The movie has this, and maybe you guys don't feel this way, but the movie has this cheap feel to it. It has, I can't pinpoint what it is. I can later with the CGI and the props and everything. But right off the get go, I didn't like the feel of the movie. It didn't feel like the first movie or the second movie. And like you, I am also a big fan of the first one. I don't know how many times I've seen it. And I've probably seen the second one 6-7 times. And like you, I like the first one a lot more than the second one, but I still enjoyed the second one. I wasn't a big enough fan to go and find a private or a screening of it because it had limited release, but I was excited for it to come out on Netflix. And yeah, man, from the first scene, it was just a downhill out of control spiral.
Wow. I can certainly understand that, but my thought, like you said, it being cheap, yeah, definitely. And that's what was running through my mind when I'm watching all the what I call the opening police sequence or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, this seems hurried, it seems cheap, and they definitely should have had some better consultants as far as that's concerned. But I thought the whole movie kind of seemed in a hurry, if that makes any sense. And that might be kind of what you're referring to as it being cheap. I think maybe that's kind of a similar comparison. Would I be correct in that?
Yes, absolutely. And there are so many continuity issues, not in terms of the first two films, but within itself, within this film itself. There's so many goofs and little things that normally it wouldn't bother me, but there's just so many of them, like even mechanical goofs, like the very first scene, you know, the cops, they find the truck, they open the double doors, and then these protective bars come down, right? I remember I was watching it and I was thinking, like, this fucking makes no sense. Where are those bars going? Because they come down from the ceiling, but these bars are like six foot long, but they're going up into a 4-inch slab of the ceiling. That fucking makes no sense. And I don't feel like I'm being nitpicky either. That should be like addressed. Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was pretty ridiculous myself also. Like, what kind of Frankenstein fucking truck did they come up with? I mean, what in the hell? I mean, we'll get to some of the other bullshit with it that you see down the road. But yeah, I kind of thought the same thing, I'm not going to lie. And I thought, okay, well, there's been a lot of time that's passed, and this film should not be hurried or feel like it's hurried or cheap. It's been over 10 years since the second ones came out, so there's been plenty of time. Now, I know they changed the script and everything, and there were some adjustments made in there, but still, I agree with that. There was a lot of bullshit in there, and I thought the same thing when I saw that too. I'm like, that makes no sense. I mean, yeah, are you being nitpicky? Maybe a little bit, but that's what us horror geeks do. We nitpick shit. And when you're making this film, you should know better from reading reviews and all the negativity that people say about shit. You should know better than to come with some bullshit like that. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
It's like, it's like a 18-foot tall monster coming out of a 5-gallon bucket. That's what it's equivalent to, you know, like, and there's a lot of stuff later on in the film as well. Another issue I have is the props. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but the truck itself looks like a fan-made prop. It doesn't look natural. It looks like it was painted by somebody intentionally. And that threw me off a lot too. It looks like something you would see at a convention, at like a miniature at a convention, at a booth or something. It didn't look like a genuine prop. It pulled me out of the movie so badly, how horrible all of the props and even the costume on the creeper. And I know you said that you felt that he looked as good, the creeper himself looked as good as he did in the first two films, but I don't feel that way either, man. I felt like the clothing looked aged by people and not by time and wear. And I guess as an artist, that kind of stuff bothers me maybe more than some people, but and we can go on later about the CGI. Dude, I can talk about the CGI forever and then other flaws, but also another issue I had was they gave this truck a personality of its own and they made it a character, and that's cool and everything if you're doing something original, but that wasn't the case in the first movie. The truck was awesome in the first movie, and it definitely had character in the first movie, but it wasn't a character in the first movie. And since this movie takes place directly after the first movie, you can't just do that. You can't just switch shit up like that, man, and change things up that much. It's like you said, it just all seems so rushed and put together, and no love was put into this at all.
Yeah, I agree about the truck. It had its mysteriousness, the mystique factor, the kind of lurking around the creepy old truck in the first one. And of course, like you said, this being a direct follow-up to the first one, it's like, okay, we didn't see any of that bullshit in the first one. So what's happened between now and then? Did he go to tech school and learn how to fabricate metal and create this Frankenstein death trap fucking bullshit? I mean, I don't know. I just think it's fucking ridiculous, but that's just me. But yeah, as far as the character goes, and we'll talk a little bit about the character later, but just real quick, I want to interject in there. The difference between what you're seeing with the character and what might prompt you to think about the weathering and some things with the costume, which we can get into those details here shortly, but the one thing with this film, with the third installment compared to one and two, is basically daytime. It's pretty much all daytime, whereas the other, yeah, we have daytime and the other, but when you look at primarily when we see the character, it's more or less at nighttime. I mean, did you think about that at all during while you're watching the film?
I hadn't even considered that. I think if my memory, and I haven't seen part two in probably four or five years, but I believe some of the scenes in that took place in the daytime, didn't they? Nonetheless, I know that the majority of them were in the shadows and darkness and at nighttime. So yeah, I hadn't really considered that, and that's a good point, and I'll give you that. That's fair enough.
Yeah, and I'm not going to discredit the quality of the costume, because I would literally have to pull still shots from the films and be like, okay, I guess what I meant before we started the episode, just prior to the beginning, was just in general, the character was basically the same as what we're used to seeing. Just when you saw the creeper, whereas like in Friday the 13th, every film he looks different, or Freddy's appearance even changed from time to time. Michael Myers, Leatherface, there wasn't a drastic difference, is I guess what I meant by that. So we'll get to that later. But Jesse, thoughts as far as where we started this off with?
All right. So like Ken, as soon as the opening credits were done, I was disappointed. They clearly spent more of their budget on advertising for the movie than they did actually making the movie, which bothered me. If you're going to follow up the first one, make it look good. Don't make it look like a group of people on an indie scale decided to make a movie, because that's what it looked like. Entirely. As far as the costume goes, now I've actually delved deep into this because I'm all about the creeper. It was actually the same costume from the first and second movie, re-altered, because he had, he'd gotten a little bit bigger since the first two movies. But they just kept altering the same costume, and they kept it the same. I disagree with you guys about the van. While I agreed the mysteriousness of it was cool in the first one, the fact that it could do all these cool things and was its own character was actually one of the only things I even liked about the movie. Period.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting thought process on it, and I won't disagree with that, because to each their own, of course, but I just have to agree with Kent in the sense that if we would have saw some type of scenes where it did have a mind of its own or whatever, then I probably would have been more okay with it. But there was no hint of it whatsoever. It's just like all of a sudden this truck is doing all this crazy shit, and it didn't work for me. I didn't care for it. I'm more into the character of the creeper itself and what the kick-ass shit that you see with him, and then have the mysteriousness of the truck, just like in part one. It was like, oh shit, there's the truck, and now all of a sudden the truck has a mind of its own, and I just would have rather seen it more carried over from what we've seen in the first one. But I can understand that the element that you thought of that actually was a positive thing. But then again, I mean, I do see what you're saying there, because the film was so terrible that might have been a highlight for some people. It just wasn't for me.
I think that it proves how bad the movie is whenever, and I'm a fan. This is coming from a guy who likes bad movies. I love trauma movies, which are known that they're self-aware, but I think it speaks volumes about the movie whenever it's so bad that I found myself zoning out, not really even paying attention to the story or even the acting, because there were so many flaws that I just found entertainment in finding the flaws and how careless they were with everything. And stuff like, there's a scene where the teenagers roll up and they find the truck, the truck starts doing some crazy shit, and they get on their bikes and they take off, and they're riding for like 15, 20 seconds I think they were on CR-125s, and they're hauling ass. And then this steel rope shoots out the back and catches one of them. And then the camera pans and they're like fucking 15 or 20 feet away from the truck. Like, they don't even care in their own movie about continuity. Like, I could preach on and on and on about just stupid shit like that, because there's so much of it. It's almost every scene There's another scene where it's the opening scene when the cops open the double doors to the back of the truck and they peer in, and like there's maybe like 3.5 to 4 feet spread on the floor between walls of the truck. And then later on in the very same, in their own fucking movie, there's like six bodies back there, and there's like 6 foot between the two living ones. It's just one thing after another. I could give 1,000 examples. I could talk about this all night.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you're absolutely correct. There's a lot of just bullshit in the film, and that's just another contributing factor of it being rushed and just everything being poor about it in general. Most people, when they watch these types of films, they're not noticing the separation between the bodies in the back, like what you just mentioned. I did notice that, so I know exactly what you meant by that. But the general viewer who is not a diehard horror fan like we are, they're not looking into that. They're not noticing those things. But those people also aren't the ones that are doing movie reviews or the ones that are ranting on the internet or whatever. That's not the crowd that's doing that. So, but you're definitely right. There was a lot of bullshit stuff with that. And using that dirt bike scene for an example, I mean, how ridiculous was, I mean, granted, I know it's a movie, but still, let's just think a little bit in reality that if we're going to shoot this chain fucking spear that far and have pinpoint accuracy, no, that's ridiculous. I mean, come on. I just thought it was total bullshit when I seen that. I'm like, that is just ridiculous.
And also, I feel like a big directing flaw is you kill two of the characters off at one time in the same way. You're wasting a death.
Right.
You could have used that death for something. Kill one of them and let the other one get away, and then use that other death some other creative, interesting way. And even in that scene, you know, 3 seconds after the scene that I was talking about, where they should have been like, you know, a half to a quarter a mile away, this spear catches both of them, and somehow they're fucking 3 feet off the ground. Like, did it scoop down and pick them up and then raise itself 3 feet and then go into the tree? Like, it's just so bad, man. And so, and the CGI, I just, which I guess we'll talk about that here in a second, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll save the CGI. So, Jesse, now you mentioned with the truck that was actually a highlight for you. So, did you think the film was just so fucking terrible that was really the only positive thing? Or, I mean, was there a point in the film outside of the credits or whatever? I mean, was there a point where you're just like, yeah, this is just total bullshit, and you're trying to like pull strings to try to find the positive, or where were you at with that?
Yeah, it was a huge stretch for me to find positive. And I think the reason why I like the truck so much is that in the first one, other than it driving and him unloading, you never really saw much of the truck. Whereas now you're seeing it from the inside and all that shit. So, like, it was just a point of interest for me, I guess. The acting overall, like, even the named actors was just, I don't know if the script was that bad or if the direction was that poor, but the acting was just not good. It was just a constant stretch to find anything. I'm all about death scenes, obviously, especially involving the creeper. So I can't name you any particular death that was fantastic. But I guess, you know, the death scenes could have been worse. But mind you, this is a series that is entirely based on an Unsolved Mysteries episode from 1991. I don't know if anybody's given that much thought.
Well, I mean, yes and no, because the first one really laid the groundwork. And then, of course, the follow-up was, I liked it. It was a good film for me, but not near as good as the first one. And that's pretty common with a lot of these franchises, is the first one is always dear to people. And I get it, but that's no excuse for the bullshit that we've seen in number three here, especially it being over 10 years later with the technology that we have now. And there's a lot of fan base there, regardless of who's involved with it. I'm not even going to mention any of that nonsense, but regardless of who's directing this film or who wrote this film, it's just a big ass disappointment. And I don't really think that this particular franchise is going to recover from the garbage that we've seen with part three.
Dude, I've seen better CGI in third world porn. And this is coming from a guy that watches a lot of third world porn.
I don't even want to hear about that. That might be the whatever you ingested in Iraq that's talking. I don't know.
It's an acquired taste.
Oh, I can only imagine. But if you're comparing it to that, then that's some serious business right there. That's a serious put down right there.
Hey, you know the scene where the creeper jumps down and kind of knocks on the door, and of course the truck is alive, so it spits that spear out.
Yeah.
On call. And then there's a scene where it's as if the camera is mounted to the ass of the spear, so we're following the creeper as he's running and he's getting ready to you know launch it. If you'll pay attention, there are, because that spear is CGI'd in his hand, they couldn't even, like, why even do that, first of all? But when he's running, there are points where the spear isn't in his hand. It's bouncing and clipping through his hand into the air. And it's super obvious because it's a close-up. And I feel like it would not only look better, but it would be cheaper to just mount the fucking camera to the back of the spear and then do a cut scene.
Yeah, you're definitely right on that. It makes you wonder what the hell they were thinking, but it is what it is. I mean, just look at the movie, the totality of the circumstances. It just doesn't surprise you with anything, really. I mean, it's really difficult to find things that are highlights with it. And there's so much garbage. I mean, we could sit here for hours and just throw this thing under the bus. And I mean, for rightful reasons. And I think I did read a random, I can't remember what website it was, but I read a random person just typing a comment in on whatever this website review was, and they actually liked the film. And I'm thinking, I can't imagine anyone liking this fucking garbage. I mean, really, if you like this film, we couldn't be friends. I'm sorry. I just don't think we could be friends, because I can't imagine anybody finding enough positive in this to actually enjoy it. This was just a giant sack of garbage all the way around.
I'm so glad that I didn't buy it first, because a lot of times with these movies that I'm excited about, like with the new Hellraiser, which, by the way, I loved, but with the new Hellraiser, I didn't stream it or anything. I bought it on Blu-ray and waited for it to come to my door like a fucking adult, because I'm an adult. And I'm just so glad that that's usually how I watch movies for the first time that I'm excited to see. And dude, I would have been so mad if I'd ordered this and paid fucking $20 for it on Blu-ray. I don't even know if it's available on Blu-ray, but paid $20 for it on Blu-ray and then waited and then turned on that pile of shit. I would have been so upset. And another thing you were talking about, it is so blatantly obvious that they are cutting, that they are ripping off Creighton Duke. It's like Dollar General version of Creighton Duke. It's Faygo Creighton Duke. It's and then he uses that like cheap looking ass Gatlin gun that looks like they've made out of like fucking cardboard tubes and spray painted matte black, and just put a little bit of hardware on it, and there's not even fucking there's not even spent cartridges falling out of the bottom of the receiver on that last scene before he gets fucking, you know, ended. It's just, I feel like maybe we're being a little bit harsh. Maybe we could find something that we liked. Raz said he liked the truck. I liked, my favorite part of the movie was the end. What about you, Nathan?
Well, I mean, the end, when I think about the end, what comes to my mind is the bullshit, crappy CGI bullet wounds and them. I just thought the gun scene was just fucking stupid. I mean, just ridiculous. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. To me, it's just like, I'm done with this movie at that point. I'm like, fuck this. I don't even want to watch another minute of this nonsense. But as soon as he started firing the gun and the bullets are hitting the creeper and everything, it's just like, how much more ridiculous can you get? I mean, granted, we had all the ridiculous things that we watched throughout, but I'm thinking to myself, this is an hour and a half of my life that I'm never going to get back. This is just ridiculous.
I should elaborate when I said my favorite part was the end. I meant the credits.
I was just about to ask you if your favorite part was the end, because it was over.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that was my favorite part, the credits.
Okay. That's a joke there. Gotcha. Yeah, I totally agree, because like I said, it was just an hour and a half that none of us are ever going to get back. Total waste of time. And of course, I did have some high standards for it coming in, because when you have to fucking wait over 10 years for something, you're having higher standards, because I was gonna ignore. And I don't care. You can fucking bash me or say whatever. You know, it's bullshit to support these movies or whatever. And I don't give a shit. You're entitled to your own opinion. It is what it is. I don't fucking care. So I chose to watch the film, and that's that. And yeah, I obviously had high expectations, but I don't think any of us are being overly critical. The film was just that terrible that I don't see how anyone could have enjoyed that, because nowadays anybody ought to be able to point out some of the things that we're pointing out, or you just don't care, because if you liked it, then it's just like none of that other stuff really bothered you. And I don't expect the average fan to know the Creighton Duke ripoff reference, but I know goddamn well both of you recognize that right off the bat, because I was just like beside myself. I was like, holy shit. Like, why would they even bother with that? It's fucking ridiculous, but whatever. And I don't even know, maybe I'm being over the top on this, but who's to say that whoever wrote that character in or whatever, maybe they didn't even know about the Creighton Duke character. Who knows?
I think that Ronnie Yu could have made a better Jeepers Creepers movie. Oh, and that is saying so much.
Oh my God. I will agree. I think he could have done a way better job. There's just so much to pick apart. But like you said, you know, let's talk a little bit about the highlights, if you will, or some of the more notable things that weren't as terrible as some of the other bullshit. And for me, I think that was Meg Foster's performance. I think that was pretty much the highlight. I think she knocked that character right out of the park. I mean, that was a home run hit for them right there, was having her play that character, because I think she really did a great job.
I agree with that. I like Meg Foster's performance. I also liked the aspect of her son coming back in, you know, specter form and being this voice of advice and all that. I kind of enjoyed that aspect of it, and I don't feel like there was enough of it. But this is also coming from a guy who really likes ghost flicks. So maybe at the end of the day, I was just wanting to watch The Sixth Sense.
That would have been more productive, obviously, if you would have chose that film. But for me, yeah, that was the highlight. And I thought the creeper appearance, this shouldn't even be a highlight, but like I said, with continuity issues with some of the other franchises, I thought the creeper appearance was, that's pretty much what I expected. Now, seeing more of him in the daylight and the comparison, you know, whatever, I'm just looking at the character itself. I'm not focusing really on the clothes, but to me, that was what I would call traditional creeper.
I definitely agree about the creeper. That was my other favorite part. Anytime I get to see him, it's the way they have him set up, his fucking makeup, everything. I love the way it looks.
To me, I mean, that shouldn't be a highlight, but the film is so fucking ridiculous that is about the only two things that I can think of. If I have to say what would be a highlight or something decent about it, would be Meg Foster. And I like her as an actress, and she just had, I think, the look that they were probably trying to go for. I don't think they probably could have found anyone better. The weathered look and just the way that she portrayed that character, I think, was just spot on. And one thing, though, because I really can't think of anything else good to say about the movie, so we're going to have to jump back to the other shit, was let's talk a little bit about the creeper and his sniffing. Now, I get what they were trying to do, but did either one of you think to yourself, like, what kind of Chester the Molester shit is going on here? Like, this is just kind of fucking weird. Like, I get that he's the creeper and it should be creepy, but did you think anything about, like, this is just kind of a little, I don't know how I feel about this.
In the grand scale of things, of all the things that bothered me, it didn't stand out as, you know, really getting under my skin. I noticed it as well. But of all the flaws in the film, I think that may be one of the things that bothered me the least. But yeah, I absolutely agree what you're saying. It did not play out, I don't think, how they had hoped it would.
I don't think it didn't bother me per se. It was just kind of like, I think it's a little over the top. And granted, yes, he's the creeper, I get it, but I just thought to myself, like, yeah, this is a little much. I don't know. What did you think about that, Jesse?
Well, I mean, it was played up a little bit over the top, but the scent tracking was something that had already been previously established in the franchise. So I expected a little bit of it, just not that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we know that he does, but I just thought it was a little much for me. But like I said, that might be my thoughts on it. I just thought they could have toned it down a little bit, but it is what it is with this film. I mean, it's so hard to even find anything to talk good about. I mean, what else? What do you guys got? Any highlights outside of what we've already discussed?
I don't. You know, I hate being so negative about a movie. I also like for instance, I fucking hate Jason Goes to Hell, but I can tell you a hundred things about the movie that I did like. And I'm not gonna be like this in the future when we do reviews of movies, because I don't anticipate us reviewing. This isn't even a review. I guess it's just a look at it. I don't anticipating us going over another movie that I disliked as much as I dislike this one. So no, man, the only thing that I liked about the movie was the spectral aspect and Megan Foster's performance, and the fact that they stayed true to the creeper himself. And that's a very short pros list when compared to my cons list.
Yeah. And we're having a discussion. Absolutely. But it is, in a sense, a review of sorts. We're obviously talking about things we like and dislike, so it's definitely a review / discussion. And there's a lot of bad films out there. And I don't want to do reviews or discussions like this just to point out the bad things. But obviously, being that this was just added to Netflix recently, and Netflix is huge, and being that it had a limited release last fall, I thought this would be the perfect time to talk about this. And I know that I'm not alone, because obviously we're all kind of ranting about the same thing. And many other people that I am connected with have said many of the same things. And I haven't found a person yet that likes this film. And if I do, I mean, I'll give them a shot. Hey, I'll listen to what you have to say. But I think they're a novice or a beginner in the film, in the horror genre or whatever, because I just can't see any seasoned horror fan really thinking they could honestly say this is a good movie. I love this movie.
I can think of something that's both good and bad in this movie. Like, it's double-edged. A lot of people are talking instant cult classic, which is weird to me. But apparently, Cathedral, the movie we were supposed to get, is already finished for season one, the TV show, and is being currently shopped around to get distribution. And part four has already been unofficially announced. Now, that could be really good for the Creeper. That could be really bad. But every ongoing franchise has that one movie that people just universally don't care for. And I think maybe this is it for the Creeper as far as that one film.
And yes, I'm aware of the Cathedral and the TV potential for the TV show. And I've seen a little talk about part four. And I do agree with you that not every franchise, if you will, that all films are great in that. So yes, I agree in that sense. But with all the backlash and the outburst of people, which, like I said, I'm not here tonight to discuss my opinion on that, because that's exactly what it is. It's a matter of opinion. But this film was very highly criticized from the get-go just because of who was involved. And you would think that with that in mind, because there was tons of petitions going around, I know you guys are aware of exactly what I'm talking about, so I don't need to go into any detail there. People can just Google it if you're unaware. Just Google it. You'll see for yourself. So that, to me, that would be motivation for them to make something great. Don't half-ass it. Don't rush it. It's already been over 10 years. So take the time that it needs to throw this out there. And then the only thing that people have to fucking bitch about is the guy that made the film. You can't bitch about the movie. You can bitch about him, but it would be a great film. And that's where he fucked up right there. And I'm not going to say that this third installment is going to tank the franchise, but they better bring their fucking A game with number four if they do a number four, because this one really was just a boat anchor.
Oh, I think a weird thing about it is that in the entertainment industry, there's a saying that no press is bad press. That's been proven false in many occasions, But I think because of that, more people than you would imagine actually have seen this movie because of the press, as weird as that is. But I also agree that because of that, it should have been a better movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that that really garnered any more views, but there were people like myself that, like I said, I don't care what people's opinion of whether I watch the movie or not is, because, like I said, I'm a fan of the franchise and I'm going to watch it. It's that simple. I don't really care. But that's just me, and obviously you guys felt the same way or you wouldn't have watched it either. So objectively speaking, I don't think that anybody was probably going to be like, well, the guy that made this is a piece of shit or whatever terminology you want to say about him, degrading comments, etc. I refuse to watch this movie based on his criminal history. I mean, those people that are that adamant about this film not being made, they're not going to watch it anyway. So I don't know that that necessarily garnered it any more views or anything, but it being on Netflix is going to open it up to a wide audience of just general horror fans or semi-horror fans. And they're going to be like, Jeepers Creepers. Yeah, I remember that movie years ago, especially people like in their late 20s, early 30s, whatever, late 30s in that era. Those people, if you're not really into the background and the behind the scenes stuff of who's making what, those people are going to click watch. You guys both know that.
That's definitely true, man. I can't tell you how many movies that, you know, like I didn't know about the press of this one really until right before the movie came out and it got banned in my town. I looked into it, but like you said, I remembered it fondly from when I was a kid, and I had made up my mind that, you know, I'd been waiting on it for years now. I wasn't going to not see it.
It is what it is. It's either if you're that adamant or feel that strongly that the film shouldn't have been made, then just don't fucking watch it. But obviously it's on Netflix. It was in the theaters. The guy made the movie that he wanted to make, and he made a shitty ass movie, and it is what it is. Now, would I like to see a fourth one? Maybe let's talk about a little bit about that. Should he continue on? I mean, should somebody else take over? I mean, that's all a matter of speculation, a matter of opinion. Now, would I like to see a fourth one? Yes, personally, I would like to see a fourth one and have it seen done correctly and true to what we've seen with part one and two, and just throw fucking part three right off a bridge somewhere and pretend like it never even existed.
I think that the best decision they could make in terms of making a fourth one is getting a new director, regardless of, you know, how you feel about what he did. And, you know, to go back to that, to be honest, me being completely honest, I have kids, so maybe I wasn't watching, maybe subconsciously I wasn't watching this objectively on some level. Maybe I'm a little harsher on it than I would have been, say somebody else directed it. That being said, I'm not against the movie being made or even him directing it, but it does change the taste of it a little bit for me. But I'm not going to, you know, sign any petitions or anything to stop him from ever directing again. I mean, obviously I think the guy's a piece of shit and all that, but I think that if they're going to make a part four, the best thing they could do is get a new director, just to avoid not only that backlash, but to get a fresh take on it, to bring some new blood into it. And maybe it won't be the clusterfuck that part three is.
Absolutely. And that's probably what should have been done in the first place. Now, granted, there's legalities and there's issues, and it's not just so easy to have other people do shit, but just imagine if Blumhouse did this. Imagine what they could come up with. I mean, there's a number of other people that you could put this in the hands of that they would bring it back to the first two installments to what we loved. Now, I wasn't being overly critical of it because of the background of the person that brought us the film. I'm being critical of it because it's just fucking garbage. I mean, I think anybody who watches it ought to be able to pick that out. So it's not necessarily, I'm not being harsh because I think he's a piece of shit. I'm being harsh because it is what it is. Just watch the movie. You don't even have to be critical. It's just that much. It's just that terrible.
Yeah. And I'm saying, like, maybe what I'm saying is maybe I was being overly critical of it unknowingly. Maybe it was a subconscious thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe I wasn't even aware that I was hating on it as much as I was for those reasons. I'm not saying that it was a conscious thing.
I don't think so, because all the points that you've brought up, and we pretty much agree on about everything as it is with the film. And I'm right there with you. So I don't think that that really had anything to do with it. I think you were watching it and you were doing what other horror geeks or nerds or connoisseurs, whatever you want to call them. That's what we do with these films. That's what we do. And I'll use Friday the 13th as an example, just because obviously this is a sister show to Return to Camp Blood podcast, which is all Friday the 13th. But being that you have 12 films as of right now, and not all of them are good. I mean, I love the franchise, but not all of them are good. But with Jeepers, we don't have 12 films to compare it to where you can just kind of brush it off and be like, well, it was the 80s. They were just fucking trying to make money. They're cranking out these films. People are going to the theaters. It's putting asses in seats, blah, blah, blah. We don't have the merchandise. We don't have the collectibles. We don't have hardly any of the cast members from these films. Do you ever see it horror convention signing autographs? You just don't see it. It's a rarity. So this film doesn't have that type of following, but it also doesn't have the same amount of films that A Friday does, A Nightmare on Elm Street does, Halloween, so on and so forth. So to have one film be this bad, I think it really can tank something, but it's probably not going to, because if they make a fourth one, people are going to go watch it. If Cathedral hits TV, I'm going to fucking watch it. Now, if it's terrible, I'm not going to watch it anymore. You know, I'll watch an episode or two. If I think it's garbage, I won't watch it anymore. But it's just, it's on a different level from the larger franchises. But still, you have to take all that into consideration.
I can definitely agree with you there. Like, I came into this, like I said, because I love The Creeper. I've loved the concept of this since that episode of Unsolved Mysteries in 1991 about, what was his name? Dupont. It was a serial killer. You know, the first half of Jeepers Creepers 1 was almost shot for shot of that Unsolved Mysteries episode. And I remember seeing that episode in 91 when I was a kid. I was a big fan of that show. So for them to take that and put the supernatural angle instead of a serial killer, he's this supernatural creature, like, it had me at hello pretty much. And then, you know, you go through that progression, and like we've been saying, you get to the third one, we've waited so long, and it's just not what we wanted nor expected.
Yeah, it's basically just a big picture situation, but I don't think that really anybody's pointing the finger at this film at all because of who made the film. Yeah, they might point the fucking finger because they didn't want it to be made in the first place or not have it made by him, whatever. But the finger to me and the negative comments are made because the movie is that bad. It's that bad. You can't hide it. I mean, there's nothing. It speaks for itself. It's just that terrible in general.
And it also seemed to me like, with the exception of the Creeper, there wasn't even an interesting character.
No.
Even Meg Foster, although her acting was, you know, great, the character itself, all the characters were so throwaway and bland and just forgettable. I couldn't even tell you the names of the two main characters. They're just so dry. Yeah, characters are so dry.
I can name a couple of them, but I'm not going to. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean by that. And that's the problem with some of these films is the acting, and it is what it is. And this one is, it's right there with it. There's nobody to draw you away from not noticing the distance between the bodies in the back of the van, which we would notice that anyway. But sometimes with stronger character acting, it can overshadow some of the other flaws, if that makes sense.
I mean, there's more than him to blame. We can blame him. We can blame the camera guys. We can blame the special effects crew. But at the end of the day, the company that released this is who's to blame. They should have looked at it and said, hey, you know, there's a lot of problems with this film. We should maybe either do some reshoots or we should scrap it in the early phases and completely redo it. There's a lot of options they had than to just release it as is.
That's true. And usually the people at the top are usually the ones that get fired over stuff like that, because let's look at real life situations when there's high crime towns. Usually it's, well, let's fire the chief of police. Well, that's not necessarily always the answer, but sometimes it is. But usually let's fire the CEO. Let's fire the president. Let's fire the chief, whoever the number one guy is. We need to get rid of him. But in larger organizations, that's not always the problem. The problem is middle management, because there's structure there. And you guys know what I mean by all that. But I agree with you that whoever had the say-so with this to say green light, let's use this, they need to be fucking fired, because they made a terrible decision. Because who in their right mind, like I said, I don't see how anybody could think that this was a great movie.
I honestly think it feels like what they released was like an early version test version for audiences. That's how bad it is.
That is a great point. I agree with that.
It feels like a beta. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
early release of video games. Yeah, a beta, things of that nature. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a great comparison.
Here's another interesting take on it, and this might speak to you, Kent. So look at Hellraiser. They actually rushed a bunch of movies because their contract stated they had to, but it was also to keep people thinking, Hellraiser, Hellraiser, Hellraiser. Now, we've known about what was supposed to have been released, Cathedral, for years now. Yeah, they turned it into a TV show and chose a different script, but I'm wondering if it was almost a Hellraiser situation, that they were in a situation where it had been going on too long and they absolutely had to release a Creeper film to keep people at all interested in Creeper.
I had thought about that as well, and I don't, that thought had crossed my mind, but I didn't care enough to look into it. You know what I mean? Like, because the Jeepers Creepers, like I said, I love it, but it's not as dear to my heart as Hellraiser is. So maybe that's a possibility. That would explain a lot. You know what, man? I hope that's what happened. I hope that there is some excuse like that out there. I hope to God that that's why this is the way it is. That would make me feel a little bit better at the end of the day about it.
Well, you can look at that in multiple aspects, but regardless, like I've mentioned numerous times, I'll say it again, this third installment's been over 10 years from the second one. So it's not like it went through a shit ton of rewrites. I mean, they gave us Cathedral and then we backed out of that. And then we got the bullshit that we've watched. It's not like some of these other films where they're announcing, and maybe there was a bunch of script changes, but they weren't made public if that's the case. So let's just take it at face value for what we know. And there's a lot of different angles that they could have went, because look at number one, look at number two. In reality, they're very simple films. I mean, you guys would probably agree with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're simple, but they're still really good.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I mean, the complex behind the films is all very simple. I mean, there's no reinventing of the wheel here. It's not this crazy, insane character. It's not as complex as Hellraiser or some of the other characters. I mean, this is the storyline. It is what it is. It continues. Everybody knows this is what's going to happen. He's going to just show up and start yanking people. I mean, it's very simple, but it's just almost comical to me how they could fuck it up so bad in this movie.
I own a production company. We're at an indie level. I know enough people in all walks of life to have probably honestly made a better movie than this with a Creeper.
I don't doubt that one bit. I mean, look at Never Hike Alone. That's made by an independent film company, and look at the quality that they cranked out. I'd rather see Vincent DeSanti from Never Hike Alone, who directed and wrote that. I'd rather see him do the next, if they're to do a number four, I'd rather see him do that, because I mean, shit, look at what he was able to produce. Night and day difference compared to this other fucking garbage.
I 100% agree with that. Give it to somebody new. Give it to somebody that's hungry, that's proven with very little budget, they can create something amazing already.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what needs to be done. There needs to be something fresh here. And obviously there's been a number of years since the first one. And it's time for a new vision. If they're going to do a fourth one, I just think they need some new life to breathe into the project, because this one literally was a dagger. And I don't want to say, like I said, I hope they do the TV show, because I'm definitely interested in it. And I hope they do a fourth one, and I hope they knock it out of the park, because they definitely need to redeem themselves. Because like I said, this one to me is just really, really just a big dagger.
I think also if they do a part four, they need to bring something new to the Creeper. And I don't mean that in, like, you know, I love the Creeper and everything, but he's kind of almost a one-trick pony. And right. with Jason, like, for example, with Jason, I know that he's also seems to be a one-trick pony, but at least he looks different in every movie, and the kills are always creative. So Jason stays interesting to me anyway, and this is my opinion. But I feel like the Creeper is getting a little bit bland, just because he doesn't bring a lot to the table in terms of something new. And like I said, I love the first two films, but I feel like if you don't do something new with the Creeper, if they do a part four, it's going to get old.
Yeah, I mean, Friday the 13th is, it's easy to reference that movie because it did stand the test of time, and it still does to this day. It's the biggest horror franchise ever at this point, and probably always will be. So it just goes to show that you can have a you can have a bad film in there, but even like you said, you don't like Jason Goes to Hell. Well, I know people that's their favorite one of the franchise, which I mean, that's debatable, but it is perception, it is interpretation. But then again, to me, this installment was just that bad. It's just one of those where, yeah, the Creeper looks fine. There's no issue there. Meg Foster, I mean, the rest of it is just, it's just fucking garbage. I mean, it's just terrible. So to me, that's just like dropping a bomb on the franchise. I mean, it's almost like a slap in the face to the first two.
It's almost, man, it's almost unwatchable.
It is. I totally agree. And, you know, watching it in the theater, I remember watching that in theater and I'm like, God, this is just fucking terrible. And my friend that I went and seen it with, he's a big horror fan too. And we go see new stuff whenever it comes out locally, if we have time. And he's probably overly critical on some stuff too. Not probably as much as I am with certain films, but he was a Creeper fan too. And I mean, his reaction was the same as mine. So I know I wasn't just being overly throwing stones. It is what it is. Right from the beginning, like you said, if the film lost it for you after the beginning, then you know it's bad.
Another thing that I've paid attention to a lot over the years is the constant interviews and release of information Victor has done. Now, he claimed that this new movie, before it was Cathedral, it was a different script, that originally started out like more of the history of the Creeper. It was supposed to start in like the Wild West. It shows some quick montage time spans. And then that was supposed to lead into more about the truck, which was a direct prequel to the TV show that was supposed to have been released like 5 years ago. Then he claimed that the TV show was also supposed to be about a lot about the truck, but it would also introduce other Creeper-like creatures that fed on the same time schedule, and that there was actually this whole group of creatures all across the United States that were doing the same thing. And that was kind of originally what the TV show was almost supposed to be about.
Yeah, and that would be totally fine. And using the truck as an example, if there would have been a transition film in there that would have led you to see why the truck was doing the things that it was doing that we see in part three that we didn't see before, then fine. That's okay, because there's a transition in there. But to go from a direct sequel into all of a sudden we have this fucking death trap, it makes no sense, then that's probably what it's lacking. I mean, not to mention all the other nonsense in the film, but if they were to do that, let's say in part four, and then have a little bit of lead up to that in a different part three, then that would have made more sense.
Yeah, I mean, the truck was supposed to have an origin. It was supposed to have this entire episode in the TV show that's equivalent to Baby from Supernatural and the entire, I know you haven't seen it, Nathan, but Ken will know what I'm talking about. There's an entire episode dedicated to the car and about why it's so important and why it is what it is. And that's what they were supposed to do previous to now about the truck. And because they didn't, I can totally get why you guys didn't like it. I mean, I get your point of views. It makes sense.
I think Kent and I are on the same page with that, but we're pretty much on the same page with everything in the movie, but I get what you're saying there. But then again, when I'm watching a film, And I mean, feel free to disagree by any means, but if I would have seen something that would have maybe elaborated to this is what they're trying to do with the truck, like just wait till the TV show comes out, it'll explain this, blah, blah, blah. But we didn't have any of that. I mean, there might have been something that I missed or whatever, but I don't read every fucking article out there. I don't have time for that shit. There's so many horror websites and whatever, but they just really missed the boat as far as explaining the difference with the truck.
And I see where you guys are coming from, and from your perspective, that makes sense to me. I can't disagree with you, because the only reason I knew about it is because there's a handful of films that I will follow all the news for. I obviously don't also have the time to follow them all, but I kind of knew what they were going to do already beforehand. And I mean, I can see not knowing that beforehand, not liking it all. I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kent, what are your thoughts on that?
On the truck? Well, just to get this, just to provide a little tidbit of information for the artists out there, because, you know, I'm a prop artist and everything. The truck was actually a 1941 Chevy COE. And the reason I know this is because I have a little bit of an interest in possibly finding one and making a reproduction if I can get one for cheap enough. And, you know, like Raz was talking about the Impala from Supernatural, those, since the show has come out, are expensive as hell. If you can find one that's a rust bucket in shit condition, you're still going to pay out the ass for it. But these, you know, I spent there for a little while. I was trying to find one. And if you can find a 41 Chevy COE, they're relatively affordable. So for you artists out there, you can get one for pretty inexpensive. And to be honest, looking at part three, I think you could probably do a better job recreating one from the first two movies. Because like I said, I felt like in this one, the truck just felt like a prop. It looked like a prop. It looked like something you would see at a convention. And I've seen a lot of good recreations of things at a conventions, but I've also seen a lot of bad recreations of things at conventions. And this just looked bad. But yeah, that's a little fun tidbit of information. 41 Chevy COE. And they're pretty affordable.
It's definitely, I think you're right, it's more amateur work is what it seems to be, but, you know, whatever, as far as that's concerned. But yeah, I mean, if somebody wanted to make a replica, I mean, I'm sure there's several out there. You just got to do your homework and find one. But I'd like to see a replica, not necessarily of the Death Trap. I'd rather see it just more like what you picture in part one. That's what I'd rather see.
Well, I mean, I do agree that it looks better in the first one. Like, aesthetically, it does look way better in the first one. I mean, I'm 100% on board there.
The first one, you know, it's so important. What I mean, maybe I'm being too critical about this too, but like the rust in the part three, like there's no transition between colors. You know, when a vehicle ages, there's flaking, there's different textures, there's different... A truck doesn't age and rust and discolor evenly. And I don't mean evenly in terms of, you know, being symmetrical or anything. I mean evenly in terms of it just, everything on that truck looked like it was airbrushed. It all looked painted on. Even the rust looked painted on. That's all I mean by it, is it just seemed so croppy. It seemed like something made by a Halloween store. That's what it to me, and maybe not everybody feels that way. That's just how I felt, man. The truck looked so bad to me that I couldn't even take the truck seriously as a menacing object of the film.
Yeah, no, you're right. You just said that perfectly, like that the rust was painted on. That was a perfect analogy right there.
Another thing, the truck looked newer in this one. It physically, even with the painted on rust and stuff, looked newer. I don't see the Creeper suddenly as an auto mechanic, and I don't see the Creeper taking it to an auto body shop to get it fixed. So I don't know what was happening there.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I don't think he's doing body work in his spare time.
There is a word for word quote in the film to tell you how bad the writing was for this. When those three shitheads find the truck out in that field, and shithead number one throws something at the truck and it comes back and bounces him in the face. And the dialogue is, maybe it tries to kill things that are stupider than it. What the did they have a seventh grader writing the script?
Probably.
It was the most corny shit I've ever heard. And, you know, Victor Salva, say what you want about him. This is the same guy that wrote and directed Powder, which is, I think, a fucking amazing movie. I love that movie so much. Yeah. So it's there. He's got the ability. The skill is there. I just don't know what happened, man. I hope to God it's what Raz said, and it's just a matter of them holding on to the license of it. That's the only explanation I can think of.
Well, I'm going to have to agree. I mean, I think it's just filler to hold on to it. There's really no other explanation. All right, so we've pretty much gave our thoughts in general, which not much to highlight with this film, unfortunately, and it just is what it is. Like I said, I'm a fan of the franchise, but I just gotta call it like I see it. So with that in mind, I mean, we've pretty much dissected it. And final thoughts. I mean, for me, I'm going to go two thumbs down. I wouldn't bother. And unless you're a super fan, then knock yourself out. But if you're a general horror fan and you're just looking for something to watch, hey, what's good on Netflix? What can I do to kill some time? I'm going to say, stay the fuck away from this movie. So that's my thoughts. Two thumbs down. Kent?
Much like you, I think if you're a super fan of Jeepers Creepers, I think you should watch it. I think if you're one of those guys that was super opposed to this even being made because of the past of the director, I think you should still watch it just because you're going to get a laugh at how bad it is in spite of him. So I think you should, you need to watch it if you're a hardcore horror fan, just for conversation purposes at conventions and with your friends, because there's a lot to talk about here, man. There's a lot to make fun of. If you look at it, if you don't take it seriously and you just watch it to find the flaws and you watch it as a goof just because of how bad it is, then maybe you can even find some entertainment out of it. I watched it twice, and the second time around, I found that I enjoyed it more. Just because I was no longer even remotely trying to take it seriously. I was just laughing at how stupid some of the shit was unintentionally.
Yeah, and I watched it twice myself too. Obviously, once in the theater and then once on Netflix. And I'm pretty much right there with you as to just the what the fuck the second time. I mean, it just hits it home that much more of all the nonsense that you see. So, Jesse?
I also watched it a couple times, and I agree the second time, liked it much more because I stopped caring about the problems. See this movie if you're a fan of The Creeper. Don't expect to care for it much, but watch it if you love The Creeper. From an indie filmmaker's point of view, watch this to see the things that can go wrong on set. All the pieces that can come together that can completely destroy a film. I think there's a lot to learn filmmaking wise with this movie about what to avoid.
Two thumbs up or two thumbs down?
Oh, that's really hard, man. I'm in the middle. One thumb up, one thumb down.
I'm giving all thumbs down.
Yeah, if I had five thumbs, I'd give it five thumbs down, but I only have two, so two thumbs down. So there you have it. Whatever you decide to do with your free time, then that's all on you. So that's our thoughts on Jeepers Creepers 3. Well, all right. Thanks for tuning in. And that wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever you listen to the show at. And check us out on Facebook at Death Curse Radio. Send us your show topic suggestions and give us some shares with your horror fan friends. It's definitely much appreciated. Until next time.
Evil lurks in the mind of a madman.
This is the end, friend.
Your suffering will be legendary, even in hell.
What the prime time, bitch?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman.
Eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is what
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some things have a strange idea entertainment.